and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman deliberately set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters at the scene. Two were killed, a third injured. Kootenai County Sheriff Robert Norris says the suspect died as well.
We had a fire that was rapidly approaching the body, so we had to scoop up that body.
Lawmakers in the Senate debated the president's massive budget bill late into the night. California Democrat Adam Schiff.
Does it lead our country on a new path towards affordability and prosperity? And the answer, the simple, terrible, but clear as day answer is no.
Jury deliberations begin today at Sean Combs' trial. CBS's Jerika Duncan is at the courthouse in New York.
Prosecutors have argued that the 55-year-old rapper and producer was the leader of what they call a criminal enterprise that forced women into engaging in sex acts.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the deadline for Wisconsin lawmakers to pass a new two-year state budget. If they don't, current spending levels remain, but that creates complications for municipalities drafting their own budgets. Sholly Pittman reports.
The legislature's budget committee met again Friday night, over 12 hours after their planned 10 a.m. start. They skipped debates on major funding items, but did approve budgets for several state agencies.
With that, we are adjourned.
The meeting lasted just over an hour and followed a familiar pattern. Democrats proposed motions, Republicans voted them down, and then passed their own plans on party lines. But not without criticism. Here's Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee.
There is something wrong with the decisions that we are making in this body, and we aren't saving taxpayers' money the way that we like to claim that we are.
Governor Evers says he won't sign a budget that doesn't include funding for the state's child care program. Another major item, funding for the universities of Wisconsin, was pulled from the agenda. The committee also resolved a longstanding dispute by releasing $10 million to the Department of Public Instruction for early literacy coaching.
We want to help kids read, and we want to give schools the tools to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's taken this legislature a tremendous amount of time to allocate the funds for that.
Democratic Rep. Tip McGuire from Kenosha. The money had been held up by a legal fight over the governor's veto powers. Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee.
The reason for the delay was an unconstitutional veto by the governor, ruled unanimous, unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And so we're glad that justice has been done, and we're here now with the proper accounts and able to do these.
If lawmakers hadn't acted on that funding by tonight, the funds would have lapsed back into the state's $4 billion surplus. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit. How close they were, said something. You know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new three-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic every night. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
With a coffee mug that says, I am silently correcting your grammar, although oftentimes not so silently, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Hope you had a nice weekend. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy are going to join us from A1 in just a moment. First, a reminder that coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward about the legal group's lawsuit against Elon Musk, hoping to prevent a future episodes of billionaire bribery in connection with Wisconsin elections. And tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, Dan Schaefer, and more. Then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north talking about removing lead water lines. It's not just a Milwaukee thing. In her district, Superior has a real problem with that. And the legislature was not really that helpful last week on the topic. So I've got all that and more coming up. But first, at 8:07 now, time to bring in our friends John and Gordy from our Civic Media station in Madison. Guys, how are you?
Morning, Pat.
Real good, Pat.
Doing nice. Well. How are you?
Remember those mugs, Pat, where you pour the hot liquid into the mug and the either the writing on the outside of the mug would disappear?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or appear. Things would appear on
Things would appear, he said.
That, yeah.
That almost family-friendly for radio. But the 1970s were so fun.
But that happened in the Bush administration. Really? You know, yeah. They had all these different mugs.
Hmm.
Yeah, the progressives came out with mugs that they had disappearing writing and maps on it.
Oh, see, I was thinking about something differently, but I'm also.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Those kind of mugs.
Been there, done that, Pat. Thank you.
I'm of an era where when you discover your dad's secret stash of Playboys, I mean, exactly. That is finding gold in them Thar Hills, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Yes, those were the days.
Yes. I was just before I came to you, got a hayfield right across the street, and the tractor came by to do first cutting. It's so different now as the farms get bigger, you know? It used to be you needed 6 kids on the back of a flatbed, you know, and the little square bales would come up, and everything had to be dry because otherwise, you know, you were going to get into problems. Nowadays, I mean, this thing comes by, it's a huge machine now. And I mean, it cuts it faster than you can cut your lawn is the way it gets done with this whole field here. And then a blower truck is going to come by and get it all done. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about this tomorrow, but the changes in farming are just crazy to see when you get to see them. I saw something last week that I haven't seen in farming for a while. I saw cows outside. That's like a rare thing now. You used to see a lot of cows out in the fields when you drive around, and you hardly see it anymore because they're all in the barns 24/7, you know? And I think some of them have finally figured out, hey, he said, no pun intended, if you let them out in the field, you might get some better milk that way. You
know? They can graze that way. Yeah,
well, we got a story about
a story about grazing out there in the fields. Minnesota is experimenting with a mobile solar panel And these are two wings, giant wings, solar panels, and they're attached to a battery-operated tractor that moves across the fields very slowly, providing shade for the cows out in the pasture.
This is epic.
It
because,
is.
Because we keep hearing, and, you know, they're not totally incorrect, but saying, oh, these solar farms, they're taking up all this farmland. Mm-hmm. Well, no. I mean, one thing that I've known is that they have been looking at ways to have your cake and eat it too. Have the solar panels, but either raise them up or have them, you know, rotate during the day so that the crops below can still grow. Or in this case, continue to provide shade for the cows as it's kind of mobile that way. That is amazing.
I know it's a really great idea, but it could be frustrating for the cows, you know, when they find a really good spot to graze.
Yeah.
But the tractor keeps moving.
Eat
so
faster.
Just kind of moving along.
But it actually increases their milk production.
It
too,
does.
Right.
Yeah. That's the whole point of keeping them cooler in the, it's been so hot lately. It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Except where you are, I guess you had cold temperatures up there, haven't you?
A little further north, closer to Lake Superior.
Oh, further north.
We've had our warm spells here. But I think that would just be amazing. You know, you have to start a new saying, you know, the grass is greener under the robotic tractor. Something like that.
Yes, solar powered
like
tractors.
Yeah.
We had a very low key weekend here at the house. We didn't set up the list of, you know, 20 things to do. We just kind of did things as they came up. I spent ample time in the hammock, I'm happy to say. But one of you were busy doing the basement, which is one of those things I always say I'm going to do on a really cold winter day or something, and then it just never gets done. But you did it.
Well, yeah, I have two Gen Zers at home, and we have apartments in our home, and they just moved into these apartments by themselves now, separately, and they left all the junk in the basement in the middle of a walking area. You know, I mean, it's hard to walk down there now and do the laundry. So, yeah, I had to kind of clean that up and take care of some of the mess down there. So,
how much did you put at the end of the driveway with a free sign before they got the idea that maybe they should do something with this?
Well, I should have put it up in their apartments. That's what I should have done.
Yes. But, you know, that is there's this rite of passage that I didn't appreciate right away as a young man, but I've come since to appreciate now, not just for my wife, but for my daughters, the rite of passage when you're of an age where your parents, usually your mom, will say to the daughter, okay, I've been holding on to this big old box with your wedding dress long enough.
Yeah.
It's time for you to store it away because you finally bought your first home or whatever the case may be. And it's not just the wedding dress. That's just one example. But there is something about when one of my daughters finally got a place of her own, is we loaded up the vehicle. And I mean, they got a small place, but it's still their place. So here's your stuff to go in your place.
Yeah.
We don't have to babysit it anymore. That's kind of
nice. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I wish my parents had done the same thing and let me know they got rid of all my stuff.
Oh my gosh.
That I left there. But oh no, you didn't. Yes, they got rid of a lot of the stuff. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness I took my 60s comic books with me though. Marvel Comics.
Yes.
I do know though.
I sold those, yeah.
You just cashed those
in,
right?
I just cashed them in.
You made some big bucks.
You know what you do? You take the old comics and you put them in auctions. There are auctions that sell comic books exclusively. Mm-hmm. And you get some really good money there. And boy, you know, I made out like a bandit, but it's sad to see them go. I didn't buy them to collect them. I loved reading and looking at the pictures in the comic books. I was a big comic book fan. So getting rid of them, and I used to draw comics too at one point. My inspiration when I was a kid, and then I'm selling them, and it's just, it was heartbreaking, but I made some money.
I suppose, yeah. I'd like to think that when my mom got really frustrated with me not cleaning my room, and one day threw away all of my baseball cards.
I was
probably like 11 years old or something at the time, and I totally deserved it. I would like to think that somewhere in there I can hold this over my mom's head that you threw away $1 million card.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that, you know, you couldn't get, you know, $5 for the whole lot based on what I had. But we'll never know now.
You'll never know. My neighbor had like a gigantic cardboard box filled with cards. And when I think about that, there might have been some real classics in there.
Yeah.
Very valuable cards. So who knows?
You don't get to keep those. And yet every so often, I know there was a story a week or two ago, somebody finding like a Rembrandt or something that somebody else had painted over, and somehow they figured out to look underneath it and find. It's like that always happens to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, it does. It does.
But you saved yours, and I thought that was pretty. Did you have a favorite genre of comics? I mean,
I like the superhero comics a lot. Spider-Man was one of the best ones. I could identify with him as a loner. You know, no one liked you.
It's still the case today. I know.
Up in my lonely room drawing comic books, imagining myself as a superhero. That's the way it is.
See, I was more not so much the superheroes. I was more Archie's. You know,
Archie,
Veronica, Betty, Reggie, which is why I guess we're going back maybe 10 years now.
When that
TV series Riverdale came out.
Oh,
and you know, it said it was going to be a young adult series based on the comic books. And sure enough, the characters were there, Archie, Betty, Veronica. But as they're all like taking each other's clothes off and having these sexy scenes in the shower, I'm like, this is not the comic book I read.
This is the comic book I wish I read.
Right. Yes.
And you can always show off your age by asking people, you know, when you're comparing to women's, like, you know, is it Betty or Veronica? And for others, it would now be, you know, what, Rachel or Monica? And of course, the quintessential one was Ginger versus Marianne.
Exactly.
You guys,
Gilligan's Island. Yeah.
Yes. We were heavily into all of that. Yes.
Yeah. You ever notice women never do that? They never take any two guys and go, you want this one or that one? It's like, well,
no.
You'd have to find two quality candidates to put up, you know, in order to do that. We're talking to John Gordy. Yes, sir.
But now it's different. You know, a lot of women really do like to see the backside of a guy now in the movies and on TV.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
I always wonder if that's – is that real or is that just wishful thinking on the guy's part when they write these things? But
Well, I don't know. But I know my wife enjoys it.
Oh, well, there you go. All right.
So I'm thinking, you know, she's not alone, alone in all of this, but yeah.
Okay. Fourth of July plans for you guys?
I don't really have any plans, and it's a three-day weekend, too. Yeah. So, we got it. How about you, Pat? Are you doing anything?
Last night, we said, you know, if we do something on Friday the 4th, we'd still have the 5th and the 6th, Saturday, Sunday, to hang out here on the lake. So we just we looked at the Summerfest lineup, and I don't have it in front of me, but the lineup on the 4th of July looked pretty good. So I think we may wander down to Milwaukee. We haven't been to the big gig there in quite a few years.
Yeah, it's fun going down there. It really is, just to walk around and see the different stages. Yeah.
Well, and half the fun, too, is at that Walker's Point neighborhood. There's a couple of nice, like, boutique hotels there now.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you're going to stay over.
You can stay over, and you don't have as much of, you know, the parking hassle or taking the shuttles. You know, the shuttle ride is a lot shorter from Walker's Point than it would be, you know, from other parts of the city.
True.
So I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, when we're comparing notes next week, I'll be curious to see if it's, it was as good as I remember, or if I'm going to give you the old man thing of, there were too many people. Oh, the crowds. I'm never going again. And the music was so loud. And now I'm thinking I'll be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, the last time I went was to see Imagine Dragons. And wow, what a show that was.
Yeah.
Gee, that was a fantastic concert.
I'm not familiar with them. I don't know. Oh. Imagine Dragons.
Yep. Yeah.
Big with the kids.
Here's some of the stages on the 4th of July. Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Am I showing my age? John Waite, John Oates of Hall and Oates.
No kidding.
Richard Marks, and Chicago. Little band called Chicago will be there as well. Fountains of Wayne and more. So right up my demographic alley. So
long time ago, they had a stage for Milwaukee bands. The old 60s, 70s Milwaukee bands played at one of the stages. I wish they'd do that again. like Milwaukee Skunks or the Ricochets or the Legends.
Yes.
Sammy
McHugh.
Love
a good local band. We've got one up here, Uncommon Denominator. They're just so good. You yeah. love having a good local band like that. We're talking with John and Gordy. A local update is next for some of you. Others will be back here for more with John and Gordy. And when we are all back together in the 8:30 half hour, we will be talking to Jeff Mandel of Law Forward about their lawsuit against Elon Musk. This is all followed at 9 a.m. by Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair will be along before too much longer to tell us what's coming up on her show as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Mornings on WFHR. Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I can just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this June 27th, 2025. Have your host James with you, and right now we are being joined from the Wisconsin Rapids Public School System. We have Principal of River Cities High with us right now, Steve Hepp. Steve, good to have you with us.
Hey, nice to be here. Thank you.
Good to talk with you, sir. Thanks a lot for being here. Right away, want to thank you for putting in the time and invest and doing so much with the greatest investment any of us have, our kids, and the work that you and our school system does. We appreciate you. And what are you doing here during the summer? No, I'm joking. You should be having off. You should be off in another state enjoying yourself. No, I'm kidding. We appreciate you being here, especially, you know, one of the things that I enjoy talking about schools during the summer is being able to cover things that we don't always get a chance to in the heat of the moment or with so much going on and so many different topics during the school year to cover. And especially having you in, Steve, River Cities is a bit different than some other public school systems and other schools. Mm-hmm. And I think having an opportunity to really dive into that is a great chance for not only us, but the listeners and more people understanding what you guys are doing at River Cities.
absolutely. So, yeah, River Cities is a little different than other schools, and we're pretty fortunate to have a building such as River Cities because a lot of school districts don't have that. We often have other districts that come in, and they want to take tours. They want to talk to us about, you know, how we run things because they've heard such positive things about it. So River Cities is designed for students that, for several reasons, fall behind in credits or have some other issues going on, and they might not be on track to graduate from Lincoln High School. And so it's kind of a recovery, credit recovery option for them where they can come in and still graduate on time with their class. So that's kind of the design for it. So majority of students that come in are normally juniors or seniors. It's a, you know, it's we want them to be at Lincoln because of all the offerings they have, the electives they have, those things that we want them to be exposed to prior to coming over to River Cities to kind of give them a good background. However, some students just, for whatever reason, it doesn't work out, so they come over to us, and you know, we try to get them back on track. And it's just it's a smaller setting. Some students just need a different setting, a different start, so that they can kind of go forward. And then we work really hard on, besides getting them on track to graduate, we really work on what's it going to look like after high school. So we want to look at exploring different careers, giving them opportunities to explore and go out to jobs. And we bring a lot of speakers in. We have a good relationship and partnership with Mid-State Technical College, where some of our students will go there and take a class or two while they're still enrolled with us. So a lot of our students will either join the workforce right away, or they sometimes will go to Mid-State or another technical school continue their education. So we've been pretty fortunate that way.
Great breakdown. Appreciate that, Steve. And noteworthy, I think, not just to me, but just as an example to the community, my sister really benefited from the first incarnation of this. My sister really benefited from and attended and it, you know, flourished with and everything, really more than we had really seen her do. Jillian was very smart. Just wasn't a school kid. Got into the River Cities program. I forget what it was called originally, but the first real incarnation of this. And it just, we finally saw that brain that we always thought was there and everything. And it really, she really just hit the ground running as an adult. She moved to Madison and she's still there now and doing a lot of great things. But I also use me as an example because I would have been going to that, but it wasn't around when I was in school. And I moved around a ton, had 10 different schools before I was 10, moved around a lot of different places. One of the benefits of that for me was learning really early on the same thing that every teacher will tell you. Well, every kid learns differently. And I took that as a personal kind of thing of like, okay, I've got to ask questions. I've got to reach out and put my hand up. It doesn't matter if I look dumb or not. I don't care. I want to learn. And that was a good thing for me personally. But a lot of kids aren't like that. A lot of kids, you know, they'll keep the hand down. They won't ask questions or have follow-ups. Having a River Cities there and having that smaller class size, those teachers that are walking into the class understanding that, knowing that, we're really making true investments in our youth with a school like this, to where we truly are not leaving anybody behind education-wise. We truly are giving people an opportunity because, as we've heard from no matter how young or old you are out there, you have had a teacher tell you everybody learns differently. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we have schools that are built around that and everything? It makes sense, and we're seeing the benefits of it.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we're also wanted to touch on with you, Steve, was some of the pupil services that are available through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm also the director of pupil services for the school district, and you know, I brought up like earlier, kind of joking about, you know, summer and you know, things. What do we do in the summertime? And we get that a lot. It's like, well, is it quiet during the summer? And you know what? For us, it's we're pretty busy in the summer. We're wrapping up the last school year. But then we're right now preparing for next year. All of our budget things for next year, and you know, with our wrap up this year, and then looking for next year is going on right now. We're, you know, in the middle of hiring staff for next year, planning out processes for, you know, professional development, and then, you know, just kind of looking at how we want to start the school year. So there's a lot of planning going on central office in general, but you know, with you know, pupil services, I can speak obviously a little bit more on So we're doing a lot of that right now. And we have a lot of really good things that happened this last couple of years that we are going to continue to, you know, to focus on. And a couple of those things are our partnerships with a lot of our community members and our community agencies. The last couple of years we've run this, it's called the FAST program. FAST stands for Families and Schools Together. And we've run that at a few of our elementary buildings. And what that does is we have a cohort of staff members, community members, and families that come in, and we have a pretty set schedule where they have some tasks, they have some different things that they do during that time to kind of build that relationship, to kind of try to have the families feel more welcome.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices fell 7.3 cents over the last week, landing at $2.96 in the state today. This is 1.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and over 30 cents lower than this time last year. Gas Buddy's Independence Day gas price forecast projects the national average price to fall to $3.15 on July 4th. This would be down nearly 35 cents from last year's national average and the lowest Independence Day average since 2021. Gas Buddy officials say if tensions in the Middle East remain contained and the U.S. avoids a major hurricane, the national average could fall below $3 at some point this summer. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.81 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. Lisa Hale has more.
According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to that change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021.
A note of caution as we approach the Independence Day celebrations. Fireworks are a hallmark of the day, but every year thousands of children end up in the emergency room with fireworks-related injuries in the U.S. According to Aspirus Hospital doctors, the most important safety strategies include making sure that children are supervised by a designated adult at all times, keep spectators at a safe distance, and never use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Attention, avid readers, if there are still any left. You can never have enough psychological thrillers, as far as I'm concerned. And thanks to Amazon, there is a new one on the way based on a best-selling book. The streamer has purchased rights to Freda McFadden's The Tenant, which has been atop the New York Times bestseller chart for 7 weeks. The story follows Blake Porter, a marketing executive who loses his job and takes in a boarder to help make ends meet. You can imagine how that goes. Tough to find a good roommate, much less one who won't try to kill you. If you haven't been to Summerfest yet, but have been meaning to go, you still have time. One more weekend, to be specific. The third and final weekend of one of the world's biggest music festivals kicks off again this Thursday, July 3rd. This upcoming weekend's music lineup includes Benson Boone, Fountains of Wayne, Social Distortion, John Oates, Without Hall, that doesn't seem right, Everclear, and the Lumineers. Hot fun in the summertime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a slight chance of a scattered thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop down to the upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine with a high of 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trygve Olsen, and State Senator Kelda Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Did you know that that Civic Media app has a brand new feature on it? You can use it to text us, of course. We've talked about that at length. But you can send us a voice note as well. You just use that voice note feature, and you can record a little audio message. It might be a comment on something you're hearing. It might be a question for one of us. So just all the more reason to download that Civic Media app and use the voice note feature to stay in touch. Tomorrow on the program, Hans Breitenmoser will be here, dairy farmer from up in the Merrill area, Chad Holmes from Wausau, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. And then on Wednesday, State Representative Angela Stroud from up north. But right now, we're going to have a little conversation with Jeff Mandel from Law Forward and talk about what I would, I don't know, you can either call it billionaire bribery or you can call it bribery adjacent campaigning or whatever it is. Jeff Mandel and Law Forward want to make sure that these kinds of practices stay on the up and up or don't happen at all. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
No, it's nice to have you here. Thank you so much. Let's put it in your words instead of mine. Tell us about the lawsuit and the genesis of it and the outcome you hope to get.
Thanks, Pat. The lawsuit is about making sure we continue to have free and fair elections here in Wisconsin and about perpetuating a series of actions that Law Forward has taken to hold accountable those bad actors who try to undermine free and fair elections in Wisconsin. So let's step back to March, to the home stretch of the Supreme Court election that we had here in Wisconsin this past spring, to remind your listeners what happened. In the last 12 days of that election, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, showed up in Wisconsin and started to offer cash incentives for people to vote here in Wisconsin. And first, it was a petition that offered $100 to any registered voter who would sign the petition that very, very closely echoed the campaign themes and messaging of one of the candidates. And then all of a sudden, it was the chance of million-dollar checks to people who had signed the petition and said they'd already voted in the election. And then there was a series of payouts as well in the weekend before the election for people who were knocking on doors and getting photos of voters with the holding campaign material for Musk's preferred candidate and giving a thumbs up or a smile. All of these are efforts to induce people to vote. And in Wisconsin, you cannot give anything that is valued more than $1 to try to induce people to vote. It's against the law.
It sure seemed pretty clear that way. I mean, you can't induce anyone to go to the polls to vote for or to vote at all or to vote for a particular person. You refer to it as a brazen scheme to induce Wisconsinites to vote. And I think that's a generous way to put it. I mean, brazen truly fits what he was trying to get away with.
It's really outrageous. And it's even more outrageous when you put it in the context of some of the things we've seen in Wisconsin over the last few years, including complaints filed by individual candidates or political parties when, say, on campus there was a Get Out the Vote activity that offered ice cream for people who came out to early vote. And they said, well, ice cream is worth more than a dollar. Maybe it is. I mean, I don't know exactly what the details of that program were, but $1 million check is certainly worth more than a dollar. And even the chance to get $1 million check, right? We don't sell lottery tickets in this country for less than a dollar usually. So it really is a brazen scheme. It's brazen in how open and outrageous it is, how contemptuous of the law it is. And we can't let this continue. The day after the election, there was a really distressing article to me in the Washington Post because U.S. Senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who I guess made his own news this past weekend, but Senator Tillis was asked about this, and his reaction was really just astonishing to me. But what he said in essence was that Elon Musk is a disruptor. And he comes in with new ideas and thinks about things differently than we have before, and we all have to adapt. And so what he said is, for the 2026 midterm elections, we should expect to see millionaires of all different political stripes standing up on stages and giving away huge checks. And that's just a horrifying dystopian vision to me. That's not the way we understand or want elections to work in this country. And that was really one of the moments when we decided we had to, even after the election, come in and try to make sure this can't happen again.
Right. I mean, because I mean, you either have that outlook or hear me out here. You don't allow voters to be bribed in one form or another. But now we have to ask the legal thicket question that there was an effort just prior to the election to try to get this practice smacked down, and courts did not go along with it. What is different this time now that the election's in the past? What is different about the lawsuit, the arguments that you're making that you hope make it more likely a court will formally and finally end practices like these?
It's a great question. I think really the biggest difference is the context and the timing. You know, courts have a tremendous amount of power, but they also, as institutions, are not really built to work quickly. Excuse me. The goal of courts is to arrive at the truth and then to enforce the law based on what it finds about those facts. What you were referencing, Pat, was that in the run-up to the election, there was an effort by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call to put a stop to an event the Sunday evening before the election where Musk handed out two $1 million checks. We had been pushing Attorney General Call to take action and to try to stop this, and we're grateful that he made the effort. But he filed his papers on a Friday afternoon, asking the court to stop something that was happening 48 hours later. And that's really just not in sort of the DNA of our court system to do things quickly over the weekend in exceptional circumstances. The wheels of justice generally grind slowly, and the courts, no court that weekend, within those 48 hours, Attorney General Call was in the trial court in Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, and in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But none of those courts said that he was wrong. None of those courts said that what Musk was doing was okay. What each of those courts said is, we're not willing or able to do this on the schedule you're asking us for. And so what our lawsuit is doing is saying, okay, we'll take you at your word, courts, but now the election is over. Things are calm and settled. We're not in an urgent situation, but we do need to know what the law is and get this clear before the next Wisconsin Supreme Court election, because we can't allow this to happen again. And if you remember at the beginning when I recapped what happened, I said that Musk didn't start these efforts until 12 days before the election. I don't think that's accidental. I think part of what they're trying to do is jam the courts. They're trying to show up and do things right on the edge and do them at such a time that nobody can really stop it. And so we're coming in at this moment and saying, let's put a stop to this.
It's downright diabolical. We're talking to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. It's a legal group that already has a pretty good history of holding some bad actors to account. There was the exposing of the fraudulent electors scheme that was cooked up here in the state. And then there was the complaint against the Office of Lawyer Regulation that held that former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman had made some ethical abuses during his sham investigation into the 2020 election. So, you know, this is a group that does not take things lightly when you're doing these things. So you have filed the lawsuit here against Elon Musk. What's next? How should we expect to see things play out?
Well, as I said, courts move slowly, and so there's going to be a period of time where the defendants here, which is Elon Musk, a political action committee that he founded and runs called America PAC, and then another organization that he created with the unbelievable name of the United States of America, Inc. They're the ones who sent people these actual checks. So you would sign the petition from America PAC, and it said that America PAC would send you a check. But the check actually came from the United States of America, Inc. People got emails that said the United States of America has money for you. So those are the defendants here, those three entities. They're going to have an opportunity to answer this complaint, and then the lawsuit will get rolling. So I would expect around Labor Day, we'll have a schedule from the court, and we'll be able to move forward.
Can somebody also then do the lawsuit that says, what state allowed you to incorporate the name United States of America Incorporated? I mean, I don't know who runs these anymore. I always thought it was every Secretary of State's office in the state, but somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Indeed, Pat, you are correct. I mean, I think we all share an intuition that it just doesn't seem like it can possibly be acceptable to incorporate and claim that you're doing business in the name of the United States of America. You'll be unsurprised to know that the answer to your question of where was that ball dropped is in the Texas Secretary of State's office.
No.
And, you know, we could either go to court in Texas and try to deal with it there, or... What we didn't want to do was make an issue of that and allow the whole case to get sucked into the federal courts. This is really an issue of Wisconsin law, and we want this resolved here in our Wisconsin courts.
Okay. There's just so many issues. I mean, I could even go off on a different tangent. I remember when Ron Johnson first ran for office, and this was, 2010, and instead of paid for by Ron Johnson for Senate, it was paid for by Johnson for Senate LLC. And I'm like, what kind of path are we wandering down here that corporations are literally running for office now? But that's a side issue. And then one other side issue, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but when we talk about signing these quote-unquote petitions, and I want to put finger quotes around petition, because I remember when I was running for Congress in 2012, and they said, oh, we got to do these petition things. And I still have a very old school definition of what a petition is. You know, it's to list your grievances against the government, for example. But that's not what these are. These are campaign things. They just collect your name and say, hey, we collected 110,000 signatures on this petition. It's not an actual petition. But it shows the slippery slope of first a petition is not a petition, and now a petition is something that maybe we could send you a dollar or $1 million if you sign. And it is so hard as a voter to know what's a gimmick and what's not a gimmick, that the worst thing that could happen, Jeff, is that you and Law Forward aren't there to at least try to get a court to provide a little bit of clarity of what some bad actors can't do.
Well, it is very frustrating because, as you say, we think of petitions as a means of aggregating public opinion and giving it to decision makers to help guide them and help them understand what their constituents want. But these days, so often, especially online, petitions are not that. They are simply means to collect people's email addresses
and
text numbers. And it's just a whole shift in campaigning, as you mentioned. And some of it is constitutionally protected, but actually paying people in an effort to induce them to vote or to induce them to vote for a specific candidate, that is illegal. And we cannot allow ourselves to go down that road here in Wisconsin. No.
Cannot. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, thank you so much. I really appreciate the information and wish you all the best in the suit.
Thank you so much.
All right. Local update is next for some of you. For others, you'll come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
We're always looking at what can we do better. You know, what can we improve on? How can we be more welcoming to meet the needs of our families? So that's something that's been very successful, and we're excited that to keep that going. And then this last couple of years, we've also in the pupil service side, more in that special ed side of pupil services, we've been doing what's called donuts and discussions, where we invite our families that have students with IEPs, so our students that have special needs, to come in, and then we have an open session where they can like ask us questions, bring up their concerns, ask us what kind of supports, you know, that are out there. In the last couple of years, we've been inviting local agencies around the area that help support families that maybe families are not aware of, and that we have them set up booths, and then they are able to like take time and meet with each family and say, you know, these are our services, this is what we're able to offer, and, you know, and make those connections. And I, you know, families that have come have been really appreciative of that. And I know those agencies that we're very thankful that they come in. They've been very, you know, appreciative of the, of those opportunities too. Because there's, you know, there's so many services out here that our community offers that a lot of people just don't know about, you know, and we just want to make those connections.
So. With all the moving around my family and I did, we got into a knack of when we moved to a community, we really get to know it, you know, drive around the back road, some of these things, find businesses. We were here for a good 10 years before we found the Little Pink Restaurant and loved it. And it's awesome. It's a giant pink restaurant. It isn't that giant, but it's right. A big, you know, it's bright pink and everything. And we didn't even know it was in town until we moved to this side of town and everything. It happens. It's something that happens in small and big communities where there are things going on that you just don't always know about. And then there's services, and those can even be harder to find or hear about. And there's no blame here or anything like that. It's more so just us as a community sharing this information. We all know word of mouth goes farther than most anything really can. So when you hear about these things, spreading the word about them, letting other people know about them, sharing them on social media, that's some of the way that we can help get the word out and make sure that these services are being used by the people that need them.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of great ones out there that I think a lot of people, to your point, Steve, could really benefit from, but don't even know they're there. So having these programs, something like this, really beneficial to our community. Mm-hmm. It goes a long way. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you want to kind of dive into with this here? Because I know that there's more to it as well.
With people services?
Yeah.
So another thing that I think it's something that we want, again, we want to make sure that the community, our families, our students understand all the services that we're offering that are out there that kind of go above and beyond what schools offer. You know, I mean, so we do a lot, obviously, for, you know, when students are in the building, but we do offer a lot of opportunities and supports for when students are out of the building, you know, during the summer at home. Another thing that we've partnered with for the last couple of years is called Care Solace. And Care Solace is kind of our mental health navigator. So what they do is help students and their families connect with mental health counselors and other like substance and treatment support programs. And we try to offer that kind of a warm handoff. Like, okay, if some families feel like they just need more support, we connect them with Care Solace, and Care Solace then throws a pretty wide net out there to say, okay, where are some providers that we can help connect with these families to give them the supports that they need? And that's the hard part with that is it's, you know, when we've done this before, and the hard part a lot of times is, you know, the follow through and all the paperwork and all the stuff that, you know, you have to do in order to get set up and get schedules and all that. And what Care Solace does is helps families walk through all those things to kind of take some of those barriers away. So our staff can sometimes we'll offer that up to families, and families then will reach out. You know, it's an optional thing, obviously. Families can reach out if they feel it's a good fit. But we also have it on our website. We have a Care Solace button. You can click on that if that's something that a family would be interested in learning more about, or if they just say, you know what, maybe somebody in my family just needs to get a little extra support with some counseling or whatever they're kind of going through, and they can reach out and see if it's a fit. You know, if it's a fit, that's great. If they can't find somebody that works best for them, you know, that's something they can kind of work through too.
Again, really good stuff, Steve. Appreciate you breaking that down for us. And keep in mind, everybody, that while we're getting into a lot today, there's other things there and other services that could be helpful to you. Or maybe if you think there are services that aren't available that you'd like to see or could be helpful, reaching out to the gang over there and finding out more and reaching out and letting them know about that is a really helpful thing as well. Steve, did you have some other stuff you wanted to touch on before we let you go today? I don't want to keep you too long here.
Well, the only other thing I was going to touch on is going kind of heading back to River Cities High School.
Right
on. I just want to touch on, we just celebrated our 25th anniversary. So that was a pretty big deal this year. We were able to bring back some staff members that were instrumental in helping create the program. And we invited staff members that have been instrumental throughout it's our history that they've been, you know, helping with, if they've worked there, if they've supported our kids there in different ways. So they came back for the ceremony this year. And that was pretty cool to see some old faces. Yeah. And they were able to see, you know, again, celebrate what the program has become from when it started. You know, I think 25 years ago, I believe it started over in on the west side in Pomp's tires building, or close to that. And now we are at the old Children's Choice, I think since like 2007,
wow,
maybe.
Wow, it's been a while.
Yeah. So it's been great. So it's great to see for those people that were instrumental in helping create it, see another group of kids graduate this year, which was fantastic. We really enjoyed it.
That's our good story of the day, man. That's just really good to hear. And I knew it had been a while. I didn't know it had been 25 years. That's pretty impressive. Yeah. That's pretty cool. It also gives me something to tease my sister about that she's been out of school that long. It's great talking with you, Steve. We really do appreciate the time and everything you and your team put into the community. Thank you for the time.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
Senate will come to order.
Hours after debate wound down, sleepy lawmakers are back on Capitol Hill ahead of a vote on the president's massive spending plan. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today, Senate Republicans have to decide. Choose the American people or bow down to Donald Trump and his coterie of billionaires.
Jury deliberations are getting underway at music mogul Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The judge is really providing them with detailed jury instructions, like you have to find proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters who responded, killing two of them. The suspect is dead as well. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Keep in mind, this was a wildfire as well that was going on, so they had to go and scoop up the suspect's body and kind of disturb the scene. They plan to go back there later on today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time.